Take your Bibles and open it, please, to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. You don't know, Jed, how significant that song was. I did not tell him what to sing. We did not talk about. As a matter of fact, I teased with him that I was going to preach a message that I preached with the quartet last weekend, and I'm not going to do that. But as I had been praying about what to preach for tonight, God really worked on my heart on this message. For several reasons. One, I believe this is exactly what the Spirit wants for us. Number two, the fact now that Miss Bradnick is out for a little while, I get the privilege of doing some of her responsibilities. And with what I have to do and plus what she has to do, I am both the Dean of Men and Women-ish, you know. And I sit in her office and do some of these things. I think I ought to put on a wig sometimes. Let me take a picture of that, you know, and I think that would kind of look funny, but because of that, my load has just kind of been increased. And so I think this message that I'd like to speak with you tonight is applicable not just maybe for somebody here, but I know it is for me. And it's preached to me first, and so I hope that it's a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. It says, "And now it came to pass, as they went, that he," that's speaking about Jesus Christ, "he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Tonight I want to preach to you a message entitled "The Barrenness of Busyness." The barrenness of busyness. Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this time. Father, we come before you tonight in desperate need. Lord, without you we can do nothing. And God, I pray that your Spirit's power would be upon me tonight. Use me for your honor and glory. I pray that I would simply be a conduit for your message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide my thoughts and my tongue. And that, Lord, this message would be a help to these dear folks. And we'll give you the glory and praise for what you're about to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A person once said, "It's more important to know where you are going than to get there quickly." Do not mistake activity for achievement. We as Christians can often sometimes become so busy that we mistake activity for achievement. Since I've graduated from Ambassador Baptist College back in 98 and my master's in 2001, I find myself to be busier than while I was a student in school. There's a person who once said, "God has put me here on earth to accomplish a specific purpose before I die, and as much as I have to do at this rate, I'm going to live forever." Well, here we have in this passage a portrayal of two busy individuals whose characters are so familiar to us. This account is not a story of contrast, but rather of comparison. A comparison between that which was good and that which was godly. You see, there's a difference between being good and being godly. Martha was busy with the good things, but Mary was busy with the godly things. One individual, the elder sister, is the embodiment of a social entertainment-minded busyness, and the other, the younger, is the epitome of spiritual enrichment-minded busyness. Now, here, a quick overview. Jesus is in Bethany, and he goes to visit two of his friends, Mary and Martha, who are the sisters of Lazarus. He travels to visit these two good friends, and Martha receives him into her house. She is the one who provided for his comfort, but it was also Martha who is exhorted here by her master for her busyness. And folks, if we are not careful, we can become too busy for our master. We can become so busy as Christians in order to sustain the enjoyment of being saved, we must never lose sight of the one thing needed in our lives, and that's solitude and stillness with our Savior in that secret place. So I'd like for us to take a look in this passage at the barrenness of busyness. Number one, I want you to see Martha's cumbersome service, her cumbersome service. In verse number 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" To Martha, work came first. And you know, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. She probably saw Jesus from the window, got very excited. Maybe it was something that was already planned. And so when she saw Jesus coming, you know, this opportune time, she opened the door, greeted him into the house and sat him down over into the living room, which is what a typical hostess would do. And then she probably excused herself to prepare the table. She was, you know, being a typical good hostess, wanting to please her guests. She wanted to get out the best, probably the best dishes, the china that she had, silverware maybe. She was preparing all the hors d'oeuvres and all the fine foods that she could conjure up. She probably cooked an elaborate meal. And it was busy work, but it was laborious work. You see, it was good service, but it was also drudge service. Because here it says that she was cumbered. That word cumbered literally means to be dragged about or to be distracted with care. It's just like the old days, you know, with the chain gang. How many of you remember what the chain gang is? You know how these prisoners were chained together? Sometimes some of them, to keep them from running away, they had that big ball and chain. Remember that? Okay? Well, that's what that same type of idea is. That ball is a cumbersome thing, and if you try to run with it or get away because it's chained to the leg, it's hard to do other things. It is a drag to have that thing around. And that's exactly what that word cumbered means. It's to be dragged about, to be distracted with much care. And you know what? Many Christians can get busy about the preparation for things and sometimes even things in the ministry, things in church. You know, you got to get the program right. You got to make sure you practice your special numbers and your offertories. Make sure that your Sunday school lesson is right and sermons are prepared. We got to clean the auditorium, set things up, coupled with our job, and then you have classwork and then projects and all these things. They're well and good, but we cannot become so busy that we're dragged about and distracted from the necessary things in living the abundant Christian life. Unfortunately, many times we can get so busy taking care of the spiritual cosmetics that we easily neglect our spiritual essentials. We can easily neglect several areas. One, we can neglect serious, deep prayer. James chapter 5, verse number 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Remember that it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalm 55:18 says, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The psalmist was saying, I'm going to pray out to God evening and morning and noon. I want God to hear my voice. He was effectual. He was fervent in his prayer because that relationship and that communion with God was such an incredible and important thing to him. But you know what happens to us as Christians? We pray evening and morning and noon, but it consists of this: "Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And that's the only time we have to pray. Are you aware that the average Christian today prays less than 2 minutes a day? Less than 2 minutes a day. And we wonder why our churches are the way they are and why we don't see real revival. We neglect deep, serious prayer. Not only that, but we can also neglect a deep passion for God. Psalm 63:1 says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." You know, I read that passage. I read that verse sometimes. And sometimes I pray, "Lord, I wish it didn't say, 'Early will I seek thee.' I wish it said about 9:30 in the morning will I seek thee." You know, because I want to get my sleep. But that's not what it says. It says, early will I seek thee. The psalmist was so hungry and so thirsty to be with God that he would get up early and spend time alone with God because his flesh longed for him in a dry and thirsty land. Just like when, you know, you get into an activity or an athletic event and you're so thirsty for that. You gotta have it. I ran Saturday 12 miles to prepare for a long run that I'm going to hopefully complete in March. And after doing that 12 miles, that was the first time. No, excuse me. Last Saturday, it was 10 miles. The previous Saturday was 10 miles. This last Saturday was 12. The previous Saturday, I ran 10 miles and didn't have a single drop to drink. I didn't have anything. And when we got done, Charlotte said, hey, why don't you go get some Gatorade or Powerade? I went over to a gas station when we were over in Bladenboro, and I went to the gas station, and I saw this thing. It said, two Powerades, get one free. Buy two, get one free. I said, oh, three Powerades, great. So I bought three Powerades, gave her one because she ran four, and I drank the two just like that. I was so thirsty. I was so parched that I had to have something to drink. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? What we need to do is be that kind of thirsty and that kind of hungry to be with God. Is that how we are during the day? Or do we wake up and immediately check our text messages? Check our Facebook status? Whatever it might be. We need to have a deep passion for God. We can also become so busy, not only do we neglect deep prayer and deep passion for God, but we can easily neglect other people's needs. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, we can become so busy about this and doing that. I've got homework here. I've got a project to do there. I've got this job at home. I've got to take care of this task at work. And we become so busy that everybody else is neglected. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things. Don't be so focused on your own little world, but meet the needs of other people as well. But you know, we can become so busy that our world revolves only around us. And then, not only can we neglect deep prayer and a passion for God and people's needs, but we can also neglect basic Bible principles and foundations. Psalm 119, verse number 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Basic Christian living we can easily neglect. Bible reading, praying, being faithful in church, going soul winning, whatever it might be. It's so easy that we become so busy with all these different things. You say, you know what, I don't have time to go to church today. I got to work. I don't have time to read my Bible this morning. I got to get to school. And then we can also drop out on Bible meditation. Joshua 1:8, the Bible makes it very clear. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, we get so busy sometimes that we say, you know what, I got to get my chapter a day to keep the devil away and so that I can appease my own conscience that I read my Bible today. You know what? We would do well every once in a while maybe to just read a couple verses and think on those verses throughout the day. Meditate upon it, chew on it, and let that do a work in our hearts. As college students, I know what it's like that you have to read certain amount of chapters for Dr. Child's class or whatever it might be, and you have to, you know, get all that Pentateuch reading in or however, all that stuff, and it can become easily mechanical as we read the Bible. We can become so busy that we drop out and neglect basic Bible meditation. And then we can also neglect soul winning. Regular soul winning. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Yes, I understand that we have to go to work. I understand that there's housework to do. I understand that you students have some schoolwork and projects to accomplish and deadlines to meet. And some of us have to study for a message or a Sunday school lesson. But you know what? All that can easily become a drudgery. It can become cumbersome service. May I remind us that busyness is not the bread of life. Busyness is not the living water. Being engrossed in work does not ultimately satisfy, and it will not last. It is being alone with God and spending time with Him and walking with Him and talking with Him and spending that sweet, silent, sacred solitude in that secret place like Jed sang about tonight. If we don't get renewed with Christ on a regular basis, these things, the work that we might do, though it is good work, is not godly work. They can easily break us down and leave us proportionless and hopeless. Don't look at the present burden of having to do all these things. Look at the future blessings. I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. He said, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Do you understand what's happening there? The Apostle Paul was busy. I mean, here's a guy who's being thrown in jail on a regular basis. Here's an individual who's been scourged. Here's a person who was stoned on his way to start another church, maybe to write another letter to another church, to go witness to somebody, to go to people and the Christians to house and get the gospel out to others. Here was an individual who was busy. He probably has done 100 times more than what we do today, but he said, "Hey, we faint not. I'm not tired in doing this." He says, "Though my outward man perish." Yeah, maybe physically I'm a little bit tired, but the inward man, my spirit, is renewed day by day. Every single day he was sprightly. Every single day he was excited. Every single day he was eager to serve God. Why? Because he was renewed every single day. And then he goes on to say, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." How was it that the Apostle Paul was able to go to the next church after he was beaten? How is it that though he was thrown and outside of the city, left for dead, that he was able to get up and go back to that same city to witness? How was it that he was able to start another church and while he was in prison be able to write letters and encourage Christians? How could he continue to do that? It was because he was renewed day by day and he didn't think of the present burdens, but he looked at the future blessings. And that's what we need to do. He was mightily empowered and refreshed because of that daily renewal. Take some time to get alone with God. May I remind us, Psalm 46, verse number 10 is still in the Bible. "Be still and know that I am God." Not only do we see Martha's cumbersome service, but secondly, I want you to see Martha's complaining spirit. Again, in verse number 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha came to Jesus to complain about her sister. Martha was in essence accusing Mary of being lazy. She was saying, "Lord, can you at least have her do something? I'm busy doing all these things. I'm trying to get your food ready. I'm trying to get the dishes set, the table set. She's doing nothing. Could you bid her to help me?" She was accusing her sister. Why would she do that? You know, when we get busy sometimes and we get so focused in our own little agenda and focused in our own little schedule and we have this thing to do and become narrow-minded, that is really self-centeredness. And that's how Martha was. She became self-centered. She said, "Bid her," look there, it says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." This is all about me. I'm trying to do this for you. I'm trying to make this dinner for you. I'm trying to get everything ready for dinner. Have her help me. It was all about Martha. Martha was busy trying to accomplish her own agenda, and when things weren't going her way at her own timing, she began to complain. Don't we do that? Don't we start to complain? "Oh, man, I have so much to do. I have this I got to do, and I can't do that. I wish I just..." And we start griping and complaining. I find myself doing that. Not only was she self-centered, but I want you to see that she was also a fault finder. She said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Do you see that? She's leaving me all to myself. She is the one. She's not doing anything, and I'm doing it all. The Bible makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what? The Bible doesn't say do the things that please you without murmurings and disputings. The Bible doesn't say when things are going well, don't murmur. No, it says do all things, whether it's busy, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, do it without murmuring or disputing. A person who is constantly complaining or finding faults with others is focused on self and is not focused on the Savior and can easily be discontent with the circumstances in which God has put them. It's easy to do that. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. You know, there are a lot of needs that people have in this church. What are we doing to try to help meet those needs? What are we doing to help find out what they are? I got convicted over the summer that I didn't get to know all the guys in the dorm as well as I wanted to. And you know, I've tried as best as I can to come out of the office and spend more time individually with some of the guys. But I don't want to become so busy with the paperwork and all this and filling that out that I don't spend time with them. It's about ministry. It's not about job. Not only do we see Martha's cumbersome service and complaining spirit, but I want you to see Martha's critical spirit. Again, in verse number 40, she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Do you understand what she's saying there? She's saying, Master, Adonai, Kyrios, Lord, dost thou not care? What? What audacity to accuse the Savior, the Messiah, that he doesn't care. She was critical of the Savior. The Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we can become so busy with all these different things, we try to finish it and do the job all by ourselves. And then we say, Lord, don't you care? I've got so much to do. And that's exactly what she was doing. She was accusing God and critical of the Savior that he didn't care. I think of the words of that song, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way goes weary and strong. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Ladies and gentlemen, when we become so busy, remember that there is a God in heaven who cares about your needs. He cares about you. And we cannot become critical and complaining about any of that because God has allowed us to be in that situation. You say, Brother Dave, you don't know. I've got so much to do. Well, you know what? That's what God allowed you to do. He knows you can handle it. He cares. Not only was she critical of the Savior, but number two, she was also critical of her sister. She said that my sister hath left me to serve alone. She criticized her sister of deserting her. And often, people who are so enamored with busyness have a tendency to become pious and arrogant of people who are not in the same form of busyness. You know, we think that everything else rises and falls on us, and the future of Christianity hangs in the balance unless we're the ones who can get the job done. Oh, I'm the only one that can do this job. I'm the only one that can get it done, so I'm going to do it all, and I'm going to get myself involved in this and that and this and that and this and that. Because I'm the one that can do it. God has called me to do this stuff. Well, you know, if God wanted to, he could have the rocks do it. He doesn't necessarily need us, but he uses us to glorify him. We think that we're all that when we really aren't. You see, we need to be careful not to become so busy with meetings and activities and studies and throwing family and recreation and occasional entertainment, if you have that, that we become overwhelmed and become critical of those who aren't doing as much as we are. Elijah, I think of him after that confrontation with the 850 false prophets at Mount Carmel. And remember how he prayed the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availed much in 63 words, and God sent down fire from heaven and licked up the altar and the water and the sacrifice. You remember that account? You remember what happened afterwards? He went up into a mountain and he became depressed because he thought he was the only one serving God. He said, God, I can't do it all. I'm beat. Please take me away. Take me home. And according to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, God tells Elijah that there were 7,000 who had not bowed their knees to Baal. Hey, you may think you're busy. Guess what? There are other people serving too. You're not the only one. Matthew Henry said this, those are not always in the right that are most forward to appeal to God. We must therefore take heed, lest at any time we expect that Christ should espouse our unjust and groundless quarrels. The cares which he cast upon us, we may cheerfully cast upon him, but not those which we foolishly draw upon ourselves. Sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful of being critical of others. And then lastly, not only do we see Martha's cumbersome service, her complaining spirit, her critical spirit, but I want you to see Mary's choice that sustained. Mary's choice that sustained. In verses 41 and 42, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful." That word careful means anxious. Just like in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, same word. "Thou art careful, anxious, and troubled about many things." Martha, Martha, you're just too anxious. You're too uptight. And he says, "But one thing is needful." And Mary had chosen that good part. See, Mary chose that one good thing. And Jesus goes on to say that one thing that Mary chose, what? Shall not be taken away. You want to have that renewal day by day? You want to sustain an abundant Christian life, living that life abundantly? You want to be excited and enjoy the work of God, not just enduring the work of God? You got to remember to make the right choice that'll sustain. What was it that was the choice that sustained? One, she chose stillness with Jesus. You see, she got alone and she said, "I'm going to sit right here. I'm not going to care about the things of the world. I'm going to sit here alone with Jesus." She was still. "Be still and know that I am God." She chose that stillness with her Savior, and she chose solitude with her Savior. She didn't care if Martha was with her or not, or if even where Lazarus was. She was there. Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in her presence. And so she said, "I'm setting everything aside. That meal will take care of its own." Maybe she saw him give out the bread and feed the multitude and knew it'll be taken care of. We don't have to worry about that. Maybe she heard him say, "Take no thought of your life." Maybe she heard him say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Don't worry about all the things of the world. Just focus on Jesus. Maybe she remembered that. So she chose solitude with Jesus. And I can think of an individual who wrestled with God through the night, and it made a difference in his life. Genesis chapter number 32, Jacob, who was anxious and he was afraid in a dark time of his life, got alone and set his wife and children over to one side and some servants over to the other side. And then he wrestled with God through the night. It was in that alone time with God that Jacob was transformed. It was in that alone time, that solitude with Jesus, that Jacob became a different individual. And ladies and gentlemen, if we spend time in stillness and in solitude with Jesus Christ, there will be a marked difference in us. Martha was busy working. Mary was also busy, but it was in worshiping. Martha's service was nice. Mary's service was needed. Martha made things for Jesus. Mary made Jesus her thing. Christ honored Mary's service and said it would not be taken away. And you know what, folks? We need to make sure that we shouldn't just focus on getting to know the Word of God, but more importantly, getting to know the God of the Word. Getting to know Jesus Christ. Are you too busy for Jesus? A person once wrote, "Busyness violates relationships. It feeds the ego, but starves the inner man. It fills a calendar, but fractures the family. It cultivates a program that plows into priorities. Many a church boasts about its active program. Something for every night of the week for everybody. However, this busyness robs the church of the main jewel for her crown, which is the precious gem of worship." A.W. Tozer said, "You cannot worship God one day a week if you do not worship Him 7 days a week." Someone else said, "My greatest fear is not in failing, but rather it's being successful in the things that do not matter." Ladies and gentlemen, one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part, and it's intimacy with Christ, which will refocus the heart that has been distracted over much over activity. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, let's choose that one needful part that sustains.